This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
Boy, it feels good to be back in this chair after my absence last week due to travel and technical difficulties. But boy, you guys held down the fort and Mac had a wonderful time as a guest.
So. Mac is just tremendous. So we were lucky to have him. We are lucky to have you back, sir.
Well, don't say that until you hear the idea that I'm bringing. Like, you don't know what I'm going to make you deal with.
I'm ready.
Oh God.
But yeah, let's not ado any further. We bring bad ideas, 10 minutes to adapt them into good stories. Let's get right into our first one. However, I do have a caveat for this bad idea, guys.
Okay.
This bad idea contains mention of a sonic phenomenon that we are not going to replicate on this show. I am drawing a line in the sand. We are not doing that to our beloved audience. Our listeners deserve better. So, here is what we're working with.
I'm excited now.
From 9news.com, the headline reads, "Bizarre Chewbacca Revenge Taken on Queensland Woman Over Breakup."
What?
This is amazing.
So, posters offering a prize for the phone caller who has the best Chewbacca roar are in fact an elaborate hoax orchestrated by a salty ex-boyfriend. The posters are peppered throughout Cairns in North Queensland as revenge against an ex who dumped him. Cairns' mom Jessica's three-year relationship came to a sour end, but has only turned worse after her ex-partner plastered her phone number on posters advertising, quote,
I see,
a Chewbacca roaring competition.
Wow.
That's very creative. Like, I hate it. It's awful. Star Wars fans, be better. But, I mean, it's very annoying.
It is. With the promise of a $100 prize for the best imitation of the iconic Star Wars character, Jessica's phone became inundated with calls. Quote, "I'm getting phone calls at really strange hours of the night, about 1 and 4 o'clock, she told 9 News. I thought it was quite funny, actually. A good joke. She started welcoming the calls for their hilarity, on the condition that people also pull down the poster they've come across. Despite the lighthearted move, the mum has also said her ex-boyfriend's revenge took an even darker path.
Oh, no.
When he dumped his car, tires removed in the driveway of her house to block her in.
In defense of Star Wars fans, it's not clear that he actually likes Star Wars, just hates this woman. And maybe, like, men be better. Because this is fucked up.
The police got in contact with me, quote, and finally they're going to do something about it, she said.
That's good.
But in the end, she says there is hope for the future. Quote, if there's anyone out there that can do the real Chewbacca sound, I might marry you.
At least she's in good spirits about it.
She has way more of a sense of humor than I would. This is the best article that I could found about this, but really the best ones were kind of some like video reports. So if you're curious for the story, I will encourage everyone to go and check those out. And the detail that many of those had that this article omitted is that the instructions on the poster were like, just call this number. And when you get voicemail, just like leave your Chewbacca roar first thing And then like immediate. And then afterwards, you can like leave your name and number and we'll call you about the prize. But just kind of like as soon as you like get the voicemail, Chewbacca roar, which is why she now has this like crazy voicemail box of dozens of people. Yeah. Just doing bad imitation so Chewbacca roars.
And I wonder if it specified like the hours, because she said she got calls at late hours. So
I think it did, too.
Yeah,
I think it
did. Probably too. Probably yes. This bad boyfriend gamed it out for like her phone will be off or on silent between, you know, 1 and 6.
Because that's always when she's on call or whatever. Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. So that's the time to flood her inbox, voicemail box. Yes.
But yes, you know, person breaks up with you. You could take it like a grown up and look for a chance to better yourself, or you could create a prank contest where she is going to get a ton of people imitating iconic Star Wars character Chewbacca. How do we turn this into a good story, guys? I'm putting 10 minutes on the timer starting right now.
I feel like Netflix wants to buy this reality show. I'm just going to put it out there of just like you have a bachelorette and they're not allowed to see the contestants. They're just allowed to hear the imitation movie characters that they leave on her voicemail.
Uh-huh.
So not,
I will take your dump truck of money now.
Not the reality show of bitter men weaponizing nerds into voicemail terrorists.
No, I don't like that show.
No, it's a dark show.
I mean, we could make a dark movie about that. I would be down for that.
I don't know. I feel like the badness of this idea is the bitterness of this person who would park a car and remove its wheels in a front yard. Like that's not.
It's impressive. And like there's like a real time commitment to all of these pranks.
Yeah, it's not like just a moment of nadir. It's like this person is just swimming in it.
Yeah, like if you were drunk when you started doing this, by the time that it was over, you should have sobered up.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You should have had a chance to kind of go like, wait a minute, what am I doing? This is stupid. Let's not.
I mean, the other thing we could do is abstract it out from the breakup. And just have like this sort of up and coming casting assistant who has to listen to all of these Chewbacca roars or something and inexplicably falls in love with someone and then has to track them down or, you know, something more lighthearted than that.
So similar pitch inspired by that pitch.
Uh-huh.
So a while back, back in the days of Vine, come with me. Gen Z children listening with your ticks and your talks back to the 6 second bliss where there was this one dude whose whole account was I am a better Han Solo than any other Han Solo since Han Solo.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say like including Harrison Ford or no, not I, including he, Harrison
this
Ford.
This is somebody who basically spent probably the amount of time involved in an upper like echelon degree. I'm not saying it was necessarily a PhD, but like at least a bachelor's.
A master's for sure.
Right. Like 4 years spent in front of a mirror mastering eyebrow movements. And he got it down and it was very impressive. And then he was not given the role in Solo, much to the internet's efforts. But
it's all about who you know, kids.
But
it's not about what you can do. It's all about that network.
I can imagine an equivalent like Chewbacca impersonator getting an opportunity to audition for the new like whatever Chewbacca movie. That's being spun out, and
Chewbacca's going to show up in The Mandalorian. It's a matter of time,
right? And the casting agent
is just
like,
a matter of time
passes on them. Yeah, actually, though, they get passed on, and they do not take it well,
right?
And they find the casting director's info, and they're like, "You don't like my Chewbacca? Well, won't you like me when you hear everybody else's
garbage? Everyone else's Chewbacca.
You just need to hear it a little bit more.
You'll come crawling back.
You'll come, exactly. And the casting director's like, we're deep faking it. We're not even casting anyone.
Oh my God.
We're like a body double.
Yeah, that's right.
No,
that's why they have.
Not. Let's not do that.
What's that guy's name? Derp Fakes.
Shamook.
If you are very, very puzzled right now, dear listeners, that is a hilarious reference to an earlier episode of No Bad Ideas featuring a hilariously named person called Shamook.
It's okay. But yeah, I'm into that. I'm into this sort of like, and hopefully our Chewbacca impersonator does not get the part, because I think harassment is not a good thing to reinforce, but maybe there's some something that they achieve or learn.
Yeah, I'm trying to kind of like think about what is the arc of it.
Yeah.
And it may benefit, I rarely say this about stories, but this may benefit from like a Hangover style. You know, he doesn't get the job. He's like, fuck this, let's go to a bar, drinks are on me. Fade to black, he wakes up the next morning, you know, his clothes all misaligned, his hair's a mess.
He doesn't know where he is, he's
doesn't
on the
know
couch.
Where he is. Yeah. And the first phone call that he gets is someone being like, yo, dude, like, fucking ballsy move, like, you know, don't get me wrong, I respect it, but holy shit, like, this is really gonna, like, turn some heads. And he's like, yes.
What did I do?
Right.
Please explain how other people will interpret this, because I remember what I did, but but how would you explain it to, say, your brother?
Yeah. Just go with me right now. And of course, the person at the end of the line is like, dude, I'm so hyped that I can't even right now. Like, I'll call you later. Click. It's just like, oh, boy.
Right.
But then, of course, like in that case, it isn't just the Chewbacca thing. Like, he did like a series of these things.
No, he broke into it's a Star Wars Galaxies. Galaxy Quest was in my mind, but that's a different and very good movie. But yeah, the Star Wars theme park, I think, is a great setting for this.
Right. Perhaps the climax is that this was the individual behind Storm Area 51, except it got away from him because he was just trying to make it a Chewbacca reunion, trying to get back home. But no, people had to make it something else with Naruto runs and everything.
Yeah.
Aliens can be involved. I'm into that.
And, you know, and I think that it ultimately ends up being sort of this kind of like rallying cry against, like, you know, this is, you know, we're all fed this myth that this is a world that is a meritocracy, like specifically the entertainment world, but kind of like, no, not really. Like, it is always super based on these, you know,
yeah, on who
very
your dad
nepotistic
is.
Things.
Yeah.
So here's a different pitch. The related for like what he learns is he has to come up with an original character that this whole like trying to fit into the like mega franchise is a doomed game and doesn't actually like necessarily add anything to the world, because the Chewbacca on ice is going to happen with or without you, and whatever you can bring to it will be auto-tuned out of any personalization, so that if you get sick the show goes on like an animatronic situation at a theme park. So like, yeah, like use those talents for something that only you can do.
I like that. Yeah, absolutely.
And he can learn his lesson about being a sociopath.
Yeah. I'm curious about where, just kind of like at the beginning of the movie, where is this guy in like the corporate hierarchy? Like, is he completely an outsider that is trying to break in, and for whatever reason, he's just very fixated on the Chewbacca role? Or did he like, or is he someone that maybe, you know, played Chewbacca in like a very low budget video game, and now they've like kind of given him the job in like, you know, one of the theme parks, and then after that he voiced Chewbacca in this other minor thing, and so he's someone that kind of feels like he's owed the crack at the character, like feels like, no, like I've put in my time, like I have paid my dues. When episode 14 Roar of the Wookiees comes out, like, I'm gonna be Chewbacca.
I'm back and forth on it, because I feel like industry people kind of know the deal that, like, if you're the video game voice actor, you don't have a shot at like the actual live action version of it. But I do like him having a little bit more experience to sort of feel entitled to it beyond just I'm a huge fan who has perfected this roar. Maybe he went, maybe it is like the Vine thing and he went viral. I don't know.
I like that. And I like that how he went viral was because he was the employee of the month at Disney, whichever one is in Florida, because of course he's a Florida man.
World.
Yes, that's the one. And so he was just like one of those costume people. And then when Star Wars Land came, he was first in line to get the one that he's been impersonating since high school, that everybody's like, whoa, you can really make that sound. And he's like, yeah, man.
Cool, cool, cool.
Oh, and that means he's a Disney cast member, but he can't be in the cast of Star Wars. The puns, they're endless.
And then it like becomes this sort of like escalating like war where like he goes viral and like people are like, make the Chewbacca movie. And Disney's like, whoa, we're going to make the Chewbacca movie. Of course, we have to call it like Wubaca or something. And it's Wisney or, you know, just like whatever. We'll cover our asses. But the idea being that like they start moving on this and obviously they're going to cast like, you know, somebody who will bring more people, more butts to seats. And like his small corner of the internet is like, no, like you got to get this guy. And instead he gets slapped with a cease and desist for like having any social media presence where he does this and has to, you know, fight against the Goliath.
And that's time. Time was actually a few seconds ago, but I wanted to get to the end of that. Very good thought.
Fight against the Goliath. Not a bad title.
Ah, yeah, it's true. It's true.
A Wookiee called David.
He can be named David. I think we can make that happen.
So I can't believe that I'm going to say this, but yeah, like you guys really improved that story by bringing in Disney and big corporations and, you know, just like LA casting structures. Yeah, that really made it sing.
A broken clock is right a certain amount of times a day, you know.
Well, let's see what other broken ideas we've got going on right after this quick break.
Hey y'all, Sarah here. I am breaking into the show for just a moment to do a little plug for me. Well, for Gabrielle and Zach as well, but mostly for me, because you see, all three of us have a lovely Patreon page, which is where we throw up all sorts of extras for No Bad Ideas. We do bonus episodes, and it is kind of the one-stop shop that helps support us in all of our creative endeavors, making this show and making lots of other shows like Unseen. We hope to do more of it, but we would need like money to do that. So if you have a couple of bills lying around in, you know, your digital wallet, because no one has money anymore, then please consider going to nobadideas.com/support. Again, that's nobadideas.com/support, and throwing them our way on Patreon. We would really appreciate it. It helps keep the lights on for us, covers our hosting costs, all that good stuff. And I want to do more fun things. So yeah, so help me and us do that. You'd be awesome. I would think you were awesome. You're already awesome because you're listening to the show, but you'd be even more awesome. And on that note of your awesomeness, let me not delay you any further for listening to another awesome bad idea.
Well, 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 that was some break.
I feel so broken.
Delighted to bring us global with this next idea. You guys ready for some wrongness on the internet?
Hit me, Zach. Let's do
I've
it.
I've never been more prepared for anything other than wrongness.
Oh boy. Oh boy. From TheVerge.com, I got some good shit fresh off the press for you. This one's from this summer. Old VidMe embeds turn into a hub of porn after domain purchases. Subtitle: several prominent news sites are now unexpectedly showing embedded porn videos. Oh, yeah. Here's yet another argument against using third-party embeds on your respective website. Porn company 5-Star HD Porn bought the expired domain for video hosting site VidMe, which went out of business in 2017. This means that any websites with VidMe embeds now have porn on them. According to Motherboard, which reported the story first, the list of websites with unexpected porn embeds now includes New York Magazine, The Washington Post, HuffPo, and others. Okay.
Wow.
And yes, we discovered...
Now this is big enough to be funny. Cool.
And yes, we discovered one such embed on The Verge and have since disabled it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a very extreme example. So yeah, I mean, this is like essentially if YouTube got bought up by a porn company and every video embedded everywhere was just replaced with, you know, something that you were not intending to press play on.
Man, those Estonian kids who are working for the FSB, my hat's off to them.
They really outdid themselves this time. It's a very extreme example of link rot, which is what happens when online content or images are deleted or otherwise broken, so the links don't point back to their original targets. We saw another widespread example of this after former President Trump was banned from Twitter in January after inciting a riot at the Capitol. The thousands of tweets the former president sent out over the years he was on Twitter were wiped out, and any embeds of the tweets are now displayed as empty gray boxes. Some of the former president's tweets must be preserved under the Presidential Records Act, which predates Twitter by more than four decades, and there's a sortable archive of most of his tweets built by an independent developer, so his tweets haven't totally disappeared from the internet.
Alas.
Most social media platforms have enabled embeds of their content. Twitter activated embeds in 2012, and Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube, and Instagram all allow some version of embeds as well. Reddit has an option on its embedded content, which allow users to have them blanked out if the post is edited. Used correctly, embedded content can help illustrate a blog post or news item online and provide a layer of credibility. We on this show take advantage of those when, in an article, say, about a woman taunting lions at a zoo, has hilarious embeds from social media.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
But when links go bad, as they apparently have in the VidMe case, it can be a serious headache to deal with thousands of embeds that don't go where they're supposed to. And with that, folks, I put 10 minutes on ye old timer.
So before we jump into dramatizing this, I just want to hang out for 1 second at what is the porn company's motivation in doing this? And I know that we're mostly hypothesizing here.
We are. Yeah, this is theory time.
But is it a marketing scheme? Is the thought that someone is going to be like on the Washington Post or whatever and go, I really want to click on this video about the Gulf of Mexico's warming.
The call is coming from outside. It's not coming from inside the house of the porn company. I think these are outside actors who think it's funny for a Washington Post embed to redirect to porn.
Whereas, okay, I wouldn't be surprised if that was true. And I also wouldn't be surprised if one of the highest grossing aspects of the larger entertainment industry found a way to get their shit advertised on sites that would never, ever in a million years run such an ad. Just like distribution and like getting exposed. Because like, I think porn.com is like by default, just because it's the most obvious for anybody that's ever used the internet as a destination, is like the number one site visited. And so like getting mindshare is of value for any company. And so particularly an adult company would have trouble reaching the kind of masses that they would. But I can't help but feel like there is a room full of like Russian intelligence agents just having the best day of their year, getting bonuses for having pulled this, like having helped enable this.
Right. And I think that is kind of what my brain is like scrambling to come up with or to find here. Yeah. Just kind of Because I think that by now we've all heard so many stories about hackers basically being Project Mayhem from Fight Club and doing things like this for the lols. And don't get me wrong, this is fucking hilarious. Like, this is quality lols.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
But anarchy, while sometimes called for and refreshing in life, makes for a tricky engine for narratives. So I'm just trying to kind of be like, what is a good reason for someone to do something like this other than just like, I want to pull some blocks out of the societal Jenga tower?
The only other thing I can think of is if there's ad revenue coming in from each video play and they just happen to be like, they might as well have been a kids entertainment company with ads in front, but they're just a porn company.
Yeah, I think this is you tell the human story of the people behind this, whether it is like the nerdy cousin of a struggling adult superstore who is, you know, trying to help his family's business beat the big, you know, industrial entertainment of adult entertainment, and, you know, finds a way for ad money to come in, or the guy who fucks up really badly at the FSB and gets put on like the little kitty anarchy assignments, but finds one to like that really sings and fills the coffers of the secret government agency or something like that.
And just to thoroughly catch up with that, what is the FSB? I feel like I should know this, but I don't.
Oh, that is the current version of the Russian intelligence service. It's the Russian Federation version of the KGB.
Gotcha.
And I would be down for either of those things or something else.
Yeah. Sorry, I feel like I'm kind of struggling to find a foothold here. So whichever one of these calls out to you guys, I feel that kind of having a like base premise will help me move forward.
Yeah, let's do a spy who has been burned. They were James Bond, and we can abstract this out from sort of cyber Cold Warfare if we want, but like they did like the glamorous field assignments, they fucked something up, now they are stuck behind a desk at a computer.
They are Bob Parr in Act One of The Incredibles.
Precisely. And Bob Parr, I'm just going to call him Bob now, you know, is really like struggling to find a way to make impactful work and is like going at it head on and like running into firewalls and trying to like take down, you know, the energy grid or like do really heinous shit and failing at it. And, you know, it's only by learning to embrace the lovable community of misfits that are behind desks as well and like the hacker wing that he's able to figure out, oh, it's the little things that can cause the real mischief, you know, that can really destabilize things. And so he lights upon this idea of using link rot to generate revenue and destabilize, you know, Western society or whatever. And it works to great success. And, you know, we can tell that story.
I like it. I want him to just make the slight tweak that once he's behind the desk, like, he thinks that he'll still be doing some kind of, like, heinous things. But it's a lot of kind of, like, no, don't worry about that. Like, you know, Sergei's got that handled over in, like, the other office. We mostly just need you to, like, go over all of these, like, phone surveillance records and highlight anything that's interesting. And he's like, these are all, like, accountants talking about, like, tax returns of people. They're just like, yeah, just go over, you know, there's like 100,000 of them, just go over and do that.
Right, it's busy work that's designed to break his spirit and get him to quit.
Exactly. Like, there is nothing even remotely productive, and I'm using productive with like a lot of air quotes here, because it is productive for the, like, you know, good of an evil regime kind of. There's nothing productive about the work that he's doing once he kind of like lands in this life of office drudgery.
Yeah, and so a depressive spiral, but, you know, eventually makes friends with the other misfits who are sort of in his office, and figures out a way to have an impact, to get back some of his old fire. And I'm just thinking about, like, what is that, you know, that gets us nicely into the second act. And I'm just thinking about how it resolves.
Well, so yeah. So one is kind of, you know, because he's able to kind of like band with the other office drones and pull off this like great heist, which, and by heist, I mean this like link rot thing
of information,
which I think with this setup needs to be the climax. Like, I think that that needs to be the end of the movie.
OK,
I think that, you know, then it's kind of this like they like, you know, it's a little bit of kind of like we're all going out with a blaze of glory. Like, you know, like after this, we'll never spy in this town again.
Sure, sure.
But at the very least, we're going out on like a very high disruptive note. And yeah, and I think that like there's kind of God, like, you know, before that, it's kind of this like very like Jerry Maguire-esque sort of film, I think, of just like him like losing his confidence, thinking that he's no longer the best, you know, kind of has to work in this like environment with all these losers that like don't get him, slowly building up his confidence, realizing that like the losers maybe have some value. Like, you know, like figuring out how to like lead the charge and do something from behind this desk.
All right. I dig it.
And of course, eventually he needs to get offered a like way to like go
a
back.
Field position.
And he has to be like, no.
And he has to turn it down.
I'm going
to
hang out with
because
my
this is where
people.
He belongs now.
And they're like, you're not going to be with your people. Like, they're all getting fired. If you don't accept this field job, you're getting fired too. Like, you know, this thing that you're doing, that's not happening anymore. It's gone.
It is secretly the origin story. They all go private sector. Origin story of Cambridge Analytica.
Jesus
We're done.
Christ.
Oh, God.
See, I made it sad.
In the 10 seconds you have left, what is it called?
Probably
oh,
like...
Oh, boy.
Oh, God, I don't know, like Securitas or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, Link Rot isn't
Link
a bad
Rot
title.
Link Rot is not... Operation Link Rot. I think that's what it is.
Operation Link Rot. It Love it.
Wow. Wow. Who's going to play Steve Bannon?
I don't want to
no
think
one.
About
no one. We're not,
Steve
we're
Bannon's
not doing
face
that.
Sack enough to be able to do good casting for it.
No. Weirdly, also Alec Baldwin.
Oh,
no.
God. Jesus. Oh, God. I see it too clearly. Well, then, I think you've spun this horrible idea into a more wonderfully worse idea. And I love it.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad you like it. I hate it.
It's all pretty bad. Like the badness levels.
Yeah,
it's
bad all the way down. Yeah.
You know how like sometimes we're like, yeah, this is like not that bad of an idea, but it'll be fun. So like we'll let it slide. I think that this has made up for a couple of those.
Yeah. We leaned into it though. Yeah. We could have maybe gone on a different way, but sometimes this is just how it goes.
It's just the way it goes sometimes in Albuquerque.
On that Weird Al.
Thank you all so much for listening and hearing us get our brains fried by our own attempts to dramatize this. But please come back next week and visit us again for more of No Bad Ideas.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.